I'm the ghost of Christmas presents. And I've got a Christmas present for you.
Oh my goodness.
A new episode of PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. Oh, this weather really puts the chill in Pop Culture really Man does. Children. Janine Gagliardi, how are you?
I'm good. I just got so excited when you said spooky. Well, when I said spooky and you made spooky noises, because we drove past a spooky Christmas decoration today.
Love it.
And I'm not talking about like they threw a scarf on the 12-foot Home Depot skeleton.
I've seen a lot of that.
I have seen that because you got to use it. Look, you got
and
it.
And it's on the lawn. It's, it's part of the property.
You're not taking it off between Halloween. No,
it's part of the property.
Now, no, we saw... we were driving past this beautifully decorated Christmas house.
Yeah.
And I went, oh my God, what is that? And Henry's like, oh, I think it's Ebenezer Scrooge. And it was. It was a horrible Ebenezer Scrooge.
That's amazing.
He was so scary looking.
That's so good.
I can't wait to go back in the daytime and see what he looks like.
Speaking of Scrooge, have you watched The Chair Company?
No, we haven't. Because we password share and there was like... some issue, they updated their system so we couldn't access it for a while. My mother was away on vacation. I was like, Mom, I need the password. It makes you feel very adolescent. We have to call your mother for the password.
I pay for, I'm the daddy.
She uses my Disney Plus though. So.
Yeah, I pay $30 a month for Netflix. I pay the premium plus extra screens. I'm everybody's Netflix daddy. So it's funny that you say that because... I want to share with you my current obsession.
Your password? Oh, okay.
No, a current obsession right out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk it? So take a look at... Oh, no. So take a look. I put this on... You don't have an Instagram.
Yes. Okay. These are the vintage trees.
Yes, but look underneath the tree. Okay. That's the... If you scroll, you'll see the back of one of them.
Revive a spooky old Christmas tradition. Reading a ghost story on Christmas Eve was once as much a part of traditional Christmas celebrations as turkey, eggnog, and Santa Claus. Well, yeah, that's in the song. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And there's like scary ghost stories. I always assumed it was a Christmas carol they were talking about.
I think the Christmas carol is the one that has lasted, but it's one of many.
Ghost stories.
Yeah, and this...
spooky Christmas.
I forget the publisher.
Now, what are those tales?
So, a visit... Is it A Visitor or A Visit by Shirley Jackson?
Oh, Shirley Jackson. Okay, yeah.
It's a lot of short stories. A lot of them are just about, like, aren't that spooky. They're spooky, but they're not scary. Mm-hmm. This is a cool little series because they're like these little pocketbooks. They've got this very cool minimal art on the cover. And it's just, there's like 100 of them. There's just so many. And they're like 10 bucks each. So I've read Mr. Jones by Edith Wharton.
Okay. She's a wintry gal.
Yeah.
I feel like Ethan Frome is a sled.
Yeah, yeah. The Crown Derby Plate. And I've got a bunch Santa getting me for Christmas. So the point is, I do think the spooky wagon can continue.
It can continue.
Because it is a dark... spooky stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, like spooky Christmas.
We are in the dark night of the soul. Right now, because it is dark at 4:30 p.m.
I know.
And I follow Cecilia from Svalbard on YouTube, and she's in Polar Night right now. Mm-hmm. And part of me loves to watch it because it's like a lot of candles are lit and there's like twinkly lights everywhere. But I'm like, could I do this where it's just night all day, every day for like months at a time?
You're inviting vampires.
I mean, obviously. Yeah.
No, I couldn't. I'd kill myself.
I think so.
About a week into it, I died.
I know that in...
Of suicide.
In 30 Days of Night, they talk about that like rule where they can't sell alcohol during those months because people will just like go crazy and kill themselves. Yeah, that's
immediately.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We are in that time. And it is... it's funny because... You know, we send the kids to Catholic school and they're like learning about Advent and Christmas right now. And it is so pagan. It's all the candles and it's the eternal light in the darkness. And it's like, well, I kind of want to explain to him, like, well, this is what they used to do when they were like being missionaries to, you know, people who lived in cold climates where it would get dark. And they'd be like, yeah, the gods that you have, like those like light bringing gods. Yeah. This is the guy. This is who we're talking about. I'm like, we have a pine tree in our house. Right. It has nothing to do with Jesus.
If Christianity is anything, it is a history of rebranding. Rebranding.
It's marketing 101.
Yeah, you get to some place. What do you guys already like? What do you already celebrate?
Great.
Yeah, our guy's that.
Our guy's that guy.
Our guy's that guy, too. Oh, you like that?
He's their dad.
Yeah.
Those are all saints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's there. Yeah,
he's there, too.
Yeah, this is about him. okay, cool. I got to keep doing the same thing I do. There you go. Mm-hmm. But yes, we speaking of spooky Christmas, last Halloween you were on. You got, this is two Halloweens in a row for you. Halloween, well, I mean
Christmas.
Christmas.
And so, we did spooky Christmas last year. We did Black Christmas.
We did Black Christmas.
That's right.
Now this year.
And I encourage you to listen to that episode. It got a lot of people into Black Christmas, including myself.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Now,
Anthony watched it again this year.
Yes, I got to watch it again.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it a yearly thing.
Just like the Swedes.
The Swedes. We got to talk about
who are
Swedes.
Probably at least partially in Polar Night right now.
Hmm.
They're up north.
Huh. They're praying to
Kale Anka.
Kale Anka.
Kale Anka.
They love them.
They love him. Oh, they love him. And you know him well by a different name.
Yes. This episode is, well, first of all, I don't think we've said happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to anyone who celebrates.
You know, it's great. Thanks for being here. So today's episode, this is almost a little bit like a sequel to what we did for Halloween this year.
Right. It's very similar, in fact. Yeah.
We're talking about a Disney television program.
Mm-hmm.
That it's very hard to chart the history of it because mm-hmm. it's been re-edited.
Yes,
and
a million times.
So we are talking about Walt Disney Presents From All of Us to All of You, which originally aired on December 19th.
Just a few days away.
Yes, 1958.
Yes.
Now, this is, it's part of the long-running Disney show that was on ABC. It originally mm-hmm. began under the name Disneyland.
Was it Walt Disney Presents eventually?
It was eventually Walt Disney Presents, and then it was Wonderful World, The Wonderful World of Color, mm-hmm. You know, a bunch of different things. It aired, I've got the whole history here. It aired again. It's sort of a package show. Disney himself, Walt Disney introduces it, and mm-hmm. then it's a bunch of cartoons and stuff. So it first aired in 1958. 2 years later, it aired again on Christmas Day. In 1963, they started airing it in color, mm-hmm. and it was color from then on. There's a segment at the end of the show where they introduce upcoming Disney movies and projects.
Right.
I saw a version from Sweden
mm-hmm.
that it was Moana 2.
Oh, yeah. So
they keep updating it in Sweden. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they keep doing it. I saw the list this year, and they had was it Elio? No, Zootopia 2. They did Zootopia 2.
Incredible.
Last year, I guess, would have been Zootopia 2.
Yeah. In 1983, it was expanded to 90 minutes mm-hmm. to air on the Disney Channel under a new title, A Disney Channel Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
In 1986, it came out on VHS, Betamax, and Laserdisc.
Okay.
But under another title, Jiminy Cricket's Christmas.
Interesting.
It's been shown and continues to be shown in many countries, but its impact in Sweden.
That's right.
Is monumental.
Yes.
In Sweden, it's called Donald Duck and His Friends Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
But most Swedes just call it Donald Duck, or in Swedish,
Kalle Anka.
Kalle Anka.
Kalle Anka.
Donald Duck.
Donald Duck. Kalle Anka.
It's not even in it that much.
But no, they had to add different shorts in Sweden to emphasize the Donald Duck.
Why?
But I still don't have an answer of why he's more popular.
So all I could give you is something Google AI gave me.
Mickey Mouse. But you know what Mickey Mouse's name is in Sweden?
What?
Musa Pig.
I don't understand.
P-I-G-G. That. Pig?
Musa
what?
Pig.
Musa Pig.
Huh.
I don't know.
That's what my grandma used to say to me.
Musa Pig.
So this is what Google AI told me.
Okay.
Something about the Swedish character, they identify with his cantankerous and dark
funny.
Outlook.
Oh my God.
Because what is he? I mean, every Donald Duck cartoon is the same. Yes. Every Donald Duck cartoon is the same. He's trying to do whatever. Other people fuck with him. He gets upset. And he just loses his shit.
He loses his mind. He has such a low threshold.
Yeah, he's so close.
He's got traumatic brain injury. You know there's CTE in there.
Yeah.
For sure.
He's so close to losing his shit constantly. And the Swedes are like, yes, us. That's us. I feel seen.
This is us. can I say the names of the other stars of this collection of shorts in Sweden? Kalle.
Yeah.
Ferdinand. He's a big one. Ferdinand the Bull. They tried to take him out in 1983 or something.
No.
And there was a riot. Yeah. They called the stations. They wrote in. First of all, they're very protective of this show. They don't like changes to be made.
Yeah.
They don't want changes to be made.
Yeah.
And when they are made, they get very upset. So they tried to swap out the Ferdinand short with the Ugly Duckling short?
No.
Because
similar theme too.
Yes, similar theme, but Ferdinand supports a theme of neutrality, which is a Swedish outlook on foreign relations.
That's true.
And they don't like to fight. Although military service is conscripted, which I didn't know.
Really?
Yeah. So
but they just sit around having fun.
Yeah. Chip and Dale, who are known as Piff och Puff, Piff and Puff, Musa Pig. I mean, that's how I would say it.
Musa Pig.
Mickey Mouse. Long Ben. Long Ben is Goofy.
Long Ben.
And Pluto. Pluto's the same. We didn't change Pluto. He's perfect as he is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in 2012, they said, hey, guys, can we take out
the absolutely racist doll that's in Santa's workshop?
Insane racism in Santa's workshop. And they also got me.
Nope. No way. Absolutely not.
The longtime host of... So in Sweden, they remove Disney segment and have live hosts. Mm-hmm. And I should say, and I haven't said it yet, from like 60 to now, it has never not aired.
Yes. And it is frequently the most watched program in Sweden for the entire year.
There are reports that say crime is down when it's on.
They say social media activity tanks.
Yeah.
Text messages are not sent.
Yeah.
And in the... in a Swedish museum, I'm not sure which one, under the Swedish, it's like a Swedish cultural museum.
Yeah.
Under the section of traditions, they have a whole Kalle Anka section.
Wow.
And the curator of the museum says that even if you don't watch it, you participate because you can't contact anybody.
Right.
Because everyone else is watching it. You can't do anything at this point.
Yeah.
Nobody's on the road. Everybody's watching it. They air it at 3:05 p.m. every Christmas Eve.
Yes.
And
you sit down and
you
watch
it. You don't.
And if they change anything.
Yeah.
People are upset.
Yes. This is not a program to DVR. This is not something that you experience at a later time because you can't watch it. No, it is appointment television annually.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why is because there was one TV station in Sweden from like the 60s to the 80s.
Yeah.
It's just one station. So it's the only game in town.
It's really.
And they were playing this.
Yeah. It's the way that they feel like they own it, I think, is amazing.
I think so, too.
This is a quote from Arne Weiss, who hosted it more than anyone else.
Yes.
When they took out the racism. It's a shame Disney stuck its nose in Donald Duck's Christmas. I know that Disney's in charge, as it has been for all these years. Donald Duck is almost like a religion for many people, and I understand that there will be some who are disappointed. Just the sentiment, it's a shame Disney stuck their nose in Donald Duck.
Yeah.
Like, we own Donald Duck,
we
not
own it,
you.
Not them, yeah.
It's really amazing.
It's crazy. But also, I feel, and now, any Swedes who listen, I would love to hear from you, absolutely. But I almost feel like, it's not that they don't understand that the changes are due to because of
it. No, they're not a racist nature. People. They're not
I
a racist people.
I think it's
people.
Because they're like, yeah, we understand that. We know.
Yeah.
You don't have to baby us.
Yeah.
Like, we'll
yeah,
just
it's
watch
from
it and be 1938. Like, okay, it's old. Like,
yeah.
And not to say it's an okay thing, but it's just like they understand and they are like, we're not infants. We can tell our children that's not right.
Yeah.
Let us be adults and watch this with our families.
Taking the racist doll out of Santa's workshop, they reacted the way like Italians reacted in like the 60s or 70s when they took Latin out of mass.
Oh my
and they were like, we're doing it in English now. They were like, fuck this. This
no,
is wrong.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not.
Yeah. He's going to face the congregation now? No.
Yeah.
He needs his back to us.
So not only are there different edits of this, different cuts of this.
Yeah.
In different countries, there are different lineups. There are some shorts that are in all of them and some are different.
Yeah.
What we found on YouTube was the American version, but then we went and watched all the shorts that they watch in Sweden.
Right. Okay. So the lineup in Sweden is, and I don't know how they mix these, but the shorts are as follows. Santa's Workshop.
1932.
Clown of the Jungle.
Horrible. 1947.
Pluto's Christmas Tree.
52.
Mickey's Trailer.
38.
Ferdinand the Bull.
38 as well.
And then they have clips from Snow White. They do the silly song scene. Cinderella, the work song. Lady and the Tramp, Bella Notte. Jungle Book Bare Necessities and Robin Hood, Robin Robbing Prince John scene.
Yeah.
And then they add two surprise gifts, which are clips from upcoming movies for the following
year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's always like, that's, those are the segments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, some of these I'd never seen, like Clown of the Jungle.
Neither have I.
Pluto's Christmas Tree I've seen because that's the one where he strangles Pluto.
I have so much to say about it. I love it. And also, there are problems with it.
There's so many problems with it. But
I love it.
There, I had a VHS of something very similar. I think it might have been packaged as From All of Us to All of You. Mm-hmm. But it was a musical VHS. And so they'd sing like Christmas standards over these shorts. And so they had Pluto's Christmas Tree as one of the shorts. And it would have like a bouncing ball going from word to word.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Interesting.
So that's where my knowledge of a lot of these shorts comes from that compilation.
So let's go through the shorts. Mm-hmm. We don't really have to go through the film clips.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to go through the shorts and we could talk about differences along the way.
Okay. Can I just add a comment about Arne Weiss?
Yes.
Weissa? He said
it's Diane Weiss's
Diane uncle. Yes. So okay. Arne Weiss, who hosted the show live from 1972 to 2002, so for 30 years.
Thank you very much.
Personified Christmas to two generations of Swedes. In 1992, when he attempted to get the network to record his portion of the program in advance so that he could spend Christmas with his family.
Once in 30 years.
For the one time in 30 years, newspapers got a hold of the story and helped to scuttle the change. We had recorded everything, but no way. The host is supposed to sit there in a vigil over Christmas.
Wow.
Weiss claims that Sweden's stubborn insistence that he record live every year destroyed his personal life, blaming the show for his three divorces.
Wow.
Presumably, Holly he's Anka only ruins. Missing one holiday, but, you know, that was to blame for every divorce the man
every
had.
Every divorce.
Oh,
it
my
wasn't,
God.
It wasn't anything else.
Also, it said that his drinking problems were well known to Swedes.
That wasn't the problem.
No, it was this show. But, and that the last time he hosted the show in 2002, he was high as a kite on morphine for his psoriasis.
Oh, I want to see that one.
Me too. Oh, God.
So in the original version that originally aired, Tinkerbell comes out and with a wand, she like hits the screen and a compass rose comes up.
Okay.
And then you see four images, a gun, a rocket ship, Earth with an African mask, and a castle. Mm. And these represent the original four parks of Disneyland.
Okay.
Adventureland, Fantasyland, Frontierland, and Tomorrowland.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was called Disneyland, or I guess after that a little bit too, every episode came from a land, was presented by one land.
Okay.
So that's why this, if you see the original on YouTube, it'll say presented by Fantasyland.
Okay.
We see like this sort of middle class living room decorated for Christmas. Tinkerbell comes in, she lights the fire in the fireplace, lights up all the trees, lights the lamps. And then we zoom in on the mantle of the fireplace and it's a little tiny Walt.
Yeah.
He says that Jiminy Cricket and Mickey are the hosts of the show, and they said that he had to appear cricket size because Christmas is bigger than all of us. And then Walt says, from all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. Cut to Mickey playing the piano, and Jiminy is singing a song about Christmas and walking us in.
Yeah.
And in the song, they say, from all of us to all of you. So there's a visual motif here where every segment is presented like a Christmas card.
Yes.
And then it opens up, and then you see the segment.
Yeah.
So Santa's Workshop begins, and this is a really old one.
Yeah.
It's a silly symphony, meaning it's based around music. Even the dialogue all rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
We see elves that look a lot like the seven dwarves.
Mm-hmm.
Santa's reading letters from kids and looking up if they've been good or naughty. We see the elves in the workshop. I had this thought. This concept of Santa's Workshop being a place of labor, mm-hmm. but also like seeming magical.
Mm-hmm.
Does that start here? Because I think of elf, I think of the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But the idea that the elves, that's like a little factory.
It's
like,
a factory, yeah.
I where does that start?
It has to start, I mean, it can't be too much earlier than this because factories were not
Right, that's true.
Even really right.
This is like
happening.
A fun version of a factory.
Or not even the factory, right? Because factories have existed since it's the Industrial Revolution.
Right.
But the assembly line.
Yes, which is what we're seeing.
The concept of an assembly line.
Yeah,
hasn't
exactly.
been around for that much longer than this cartoon exists.
We see them, they're making hobby horses out of like logs. Like the log comes in and then like a saw comes. Yeah.
I find that extremely satisfying. I did as a kid. I do now. I watched it with my kids and they were like,
or the one elf where like the tail comes down into the glue and then he throws it into the butthole of the hobby horse.
It does look like they're drilling a butthole.
There's painters painting dolls and letter blocks.
Yes. And everything's perfect, right? Like I just love the symmetry of it all.
It's such a ticking clock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. Maybe I talked about it on the Transformers episode when they were dancing to Weird Al. But like, no. I think we were talking about it with Halloween. But like, you see it a lot of times like in that old animation style. Mm-hmm. Like instead of focusing on one character, like it was like a big vista and everyone's doing like 1-2 motion. It almost reminds me of like the relaxing videos you see now, like CGI, something, you know, cutting through glass or whatever.
Oh, yes.
Like you said, it's very relaxing to watch this stuff.
It's visually satisfying. It's symmetrical. Our brains like to see stuff like that.
Yeah. And it really, it's working like, you know, a factory. We see, an elf who he's got like these wood boards and there's checkered paint and he just paints it and it's checkered boards or chess boards. Okay, here we go. All right. we see Santa and there's like a little chute, like a little slide.
You know, he's involved too. He makes toys too.
And he's testing out talking dolls.
Yeah.
So a little doll with fair skin comes down.
Yep.
And he says, "Can you say mama?" And she says, "Mama."
Mm-hmm.
And then another doll comes down.
Yeah.
And she is not just in blackface, but like the braided hair and like the white lips, complete minstrel.
It is minstrel. Yeah.
And then she says, "Mammy."
Mammy. And she screams.
Yeah.
Like.
And he laughs. Like,
oh my goodness. This is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the juxtaposition of the doll's voices is so insane. Like,
yeah,
I actually was looking down at that moment. Yeah. So I didn't even see the doll come down the chute. And I had to rewind. Yeah. What just happened?
You hear the word mammy and you're like, what? What's up?
Well, it's also like how it screamed. Like the doll voice is like, mama. Yeah. And then this new doll is like, mammy, like screaming at the top of their lungs. I was like, oh my God, what is happening? Bad. It's horrifying.
Your children are going to school saying mammy. Everybody's upset.
That's what they call me now.
Now there's a meeting.
It is horrific.
It's horrific.
And it's treated like silly.
But can I say something in defense of Santa?
Okay.
He's marking them defective or okay. He marks it as okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
Somebody wants this little doll.
Somebody wants that
doll. It would be one thing if he marked it. He said like terrible, like threw it in a fire. But Santa's okay with it.
This is gonna sound insane. We're gonna cancel ourselves this time around.
So take a breath. Wait.
Let's wait.
Let's catch a bubble.
I feel like this was woke for the time.
This was no. I think I feel like
this was like. And look, he gives dolls to everyone.
I kind of think no. You're right. I do.
Isn't it horrible?
I think they think it's woke.
I think they think it's woke too. Yeah. And like we're giving to all the children.
Well, you know,
every child.
That's just the hard. That's that's the weird thing about history. Like. You know, there's always been this question of what's better, bad representation or zero representation? Like Amos and Andy.
It's a good question.
Amos and Andy was really, really popular. And like a lot of African Americans were like, hey, there's at least a TV show with black people in it. And then the other half were like,
This is the worst, most racist shit I've ever seen.
It's
horrifying.
I think of the Honeymooners sketch from the live 30 Rock.
Yes.
With Tracy Morgan. You debase me and yourself.
Sir, please. I beg of you.
So they wanted to cut that out. And old morphined up Arne Weiss was like, over my ex-wife's dead body, will I let you cut that out?
Oh, my God.
But you know what? I get the sense from everything I'm reading is that like it's like you can hear a pin drop. We are sitting and we are watching.
Yes, right.
We know every beat. They'll go, wait, something, what happened? Something's missing here.
Right.
I've watched this every year single year. For 30
You're
years.
Not going to take out my favorite doll.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. So next is a March of the Rune Soldiers, if you will. Mm-hmm. Some of these are blackface too.
Oh.
There's also a few Asian stereotypes. There's a fun Charlie Chaplin doll walking around and a British Bobby. They're literally marching into Santa's bag.
Yes.
And
there's a Mickey in his bag.
Yes, there is. Yeah. That's a fun little Easter egg. Yeah. There's a doll doing like a little Russian squat dance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they used to love that in animation.
Yeah, yeah. It appears twice in this special.
Mm. Right, in the Pinocchio.
Segment. No. Oh, no. Three times then. No, it's in Clown of the Jungle. The bird does it.
The bird does it. Yeah. Right. We gotta talk about that bird.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, there's a man in the moon face and Santa flies away. There's really no narrative to it. It's just, it's just musical. And it's just,
it's what he's up
it's
to.
It's just a vibe.
It's a vibe. I love it.
It's beautiful. It really is beautiful.
It actually reminds me a lot of the Fleischer cartoons that they would do at Christmas time. There's a whole compilation on Prime. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of Rudolph ones. And they have a lot of Santa's Workshop ones.
They would steal from each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like crazy.
And in fact, I thought I'd seen it in one of those compilations, but I hadn't. It's just so similar.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone did a skeleton dance after Disney. Mm. There's like a bunch of different skeleton dances. Around Halloween, Alamo showed a screening of like, I don't know, like 10 Fleischer cartoons, like Betty Boops and Bingo and stuff. And this bit of like, pattern on paint and you paint it like they do that a lot.
Yeah.
That's like a very standard gag, and that's what they are. They're gags. Mm-hmm. It's based on gags. So next is Clown in the Jungle. I said before that this sucks. It doesn't. It actually, I found it humorous, but it's just so, there's a no way, you can't even squint at it and it feels like Christmas. Like, it's a no way Christmas.
No, it doesn't look like Christmas. It doesn't take place at Christmas. It takes place in the jungle. Yeah. It's hot.
Yeah. It's narrated like it's a nature documentary.
Yes.
About birds and bird watching.
Right, which Donald is a bird himself, but he is on an ornithological trip.
Yeah, he's got a little like pit helmet thing.
Yeah, he's got his camera. He's trying to take pictures of exotic birds.
Trying to have a hobby, trying to relax.
Right.
And wouldn't you know it, it doesn't work out for Donald.
Here comes
the Araquan bird.
And he sings a song. He's from Saludos Amigos or
No, he's from the Three Caballeros.
Three Caballeros. Okay. So yes, this I've seen this bird before.
Not a real bird.
I'm in the cartoon or in
no,
life?
I mean like it's not based on any kind of real bird.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
And all it brought me back to
when
was this
I looked
cartoon.
Up the Araquan bird, some other bird that didn't look like this bird appeared, and I was like, I don't think.
And
this
he wasn't
is right.
putting on various costumes.
He wasn't holding a gun to his head.
Oh my god.
So he sings the song in the movie also in Three Caballeros.
Oh,
it's like,
in a long time.
It's the most irritating song you've ever heard, and I kind
of
love it.
I'm not a huge fan of that movie.
Neither am I. But it's like blended. It's animation blended with people.
It's a package film.
Yeah.
It was during World War II. They were shitting them out.
Yeah.
I prefer Fun and Fancy Free if we're talking about package movies.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So this bird torments him.
Donald, so there's a bit where every time Donald sees a bird he wants to take a picture of, that the bird like hides from him. So he's like, he's already getting steamed.
Yeah, he's not happy.
So he sees a bird sleeping and he's like, all right, I'm going to take a picture of this bird. So then, say the name of this bird.
The Araquan bird. A-R-A-C-U-A-N.
He's wearing like a little outfit too.
Oh, he's already dressed. He's got clothes on, yeah.
He's like, I'm going to fuck this up for this guy. And he's giving Woody Woodpecker?
Yeah, very much so. And in fact, in Sweden, apparently they confused Woody Woodpecker with this bird. Because
it makes sense.
Because he's so popular in the special.
Yeah.
He's
why not?
Like,
yeah.
He's much more visible figure there than he is here.
That makes sense.
And so they confuse him with Woody Woodpecker.
He has a very sharp beak.
Yes.
He's very, very fast.
Yes.
He speaks quickly. Yeah,
he makes a weird Woody Woodpecker, basically.
It's hard to even replicate the squawking sound he does, but he does like, wah, 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 like kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he like goes around in circles and he fucks up the shot.
Yes.
And Donald's like, God damn it. this guy from that movie I was in. So Donald's like, I'm going to beat you up. And then he takes out a noose, puts it around his own neck,
starts crying,
pulls himself up. How's that possible?
Nope.
Then pulls a gun to his temple.
Puts a gun to his head, which is a little overkill. Yeah. I mean, you can
kill yourself two ways.
Yeah.
So Donald's like, all right, I forgive you.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah. So then we see some hummingbirds.
Don't kill yourself over it. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. He immediately plays the guilt card, this fucker.
Yes, yes.
There's so much emotional abuse in this whole special, and we'll get to it. So we see hummingbirds, and they come together like a quartet. That's cute. Donald tries to take a picture of them, but then I'm going to call him the clown bird. He does the squatting dance through them.
Yeah.
So Donald's like, motherfucker. Donald tries to take... O'Donnell chases him. He turns into a fireman and sprays water on him.
He's got all kinds of props.
He gets an imaginary motorcycle and drives away. Donald makes chase. It's very Looney Tune.
It's
coded.
It's
very like Roadrunner. It's the most Warner Brothers of a Disney cartoon I've ever seen.
That you're going to get. Yeah.
It really just feels like one beat over and over again. This one guy fucking with the other guy, which is all every Warner Brothers cartoon.
Right.
The bird lands on his beak and Donald hammers it into the... This part tripped me out. So the bird lands on his beak like a dart.
Yeah.
So Donald takes a hammer, so it's like he's a pike, like hitting him into the ground. Mm-hmm. But then he must have glimmer magic or whatever. Yeah. Like he appears elsewhere and comes and starts helping him hammer himself
into the hole. Yes.
And then this bit I like. To like keep him dead in the ground, Donald like puts stuff on top of it, like builds a whole house over it.
Yes, yeah. He starts putting rocks on top. Yeah. And the bird is handing him rocks to put on top. And eventually, like you don't see what Donald's doing. You just see the bird handing him rocks.
Yeah.
And then he hands him a whole bundle of logs.
Yeah.
And then you see Donald has built a house.
Yeah.
And he's putting the logs on top of the house. And then he's a woman. He's dressed up.
He hands Donald a home sweet home sign,
which Donald hangs with pride.
Dutifully hangs.
Yes.
And then he comes out and he's a woman. He's wearing an apron.
He's his wife.
Yeah. He gives Donald a lunchbox.
And Donald waves and leaves for work.
Sometimes I find things in cartoons funnier now as an adult. The quickness in which Donald goes with it is so funny. He's like, all right, okay, I'm going to work, honey.
Right, this is my life.
I completely now you're my wife because you kissed me.
I was just killing you a moment ago, but now we have a life together. Yeah.
And where did he get those people? Look, I know I shouldn't be digging this deep into the logic of this cartoon, but this guy is a chaos demon, right?
I'm pretty sure.
He's Loki.
Make anything happen.
Yeah. Yeah. He's Bill Cipher. He's a chaos demon. there's a toy bird in front of Donald's camera and there's a string on it. So you obviously the fucking clown bird is fucking with Donald.
Right.
Donald like starts to like try to take a picture of it. And then the bird keeps going up and up and up and up. So Donald climbs up a tree and then we see, of course, the bird's at the top and he's got like a fishing wire and he's like reeling the toy bird in. He just puts out a mallet and Donald hits his own head on the mallet, falls. Oh no, before he falls, He's doing like five pranks at once. After he's hit with the mallet and he's about to fall, the bird gives him a cigar.
Yes.
He falls with a cigar. Then the cigar explodes.
Yep.
This was a big thing in cartoons.
Cigars exploding, yeah.
Cigars exploding. And also, look what this man has done to you. Why are you going to trust a cigar? After everything, first of all, he pretended to be your wife.
He's already threatened to commit suicide multiple times. Yeah, yeah. You've known him for a minute.
He's so toxic. The minute there's any pushback, he plays victim.
Yes.
So like abuser 101.
Yeah.
Abuser 101. This fucking bird. the bird takes all of the film from the camera and he like re-spools it and puts it back in the can, but then like cuts parts of it off. It's bizarre. Now, this part I find really funny. Donald runs after the bird, and the bird is just standing there with sunglasses on, and he's just pointing to his glasses. And Donald's like, okay, and he leans in, and then fucking on springs, boxing gloves come out of his glasses and punch Donald in the face. Just the setup of I'm putting on glasses and I'm waiting here for you. And I'm just like, no, look at my glasses. Look at my glasses. And Donald's like, yeah, okay, I will.
And you're then, my wife.
Yeah, I trust my wife, of course. And then he gets punched in the face.
Oh, God.
See, this is why Donald was created, because you can't punch Mickey in the face.
No, you really no, that, can't.
That's a duck thing.
And you can't beat up on Goofy too much. He has to be a victim of his own creation.
Goofy is there to be dumb in a way Mickey can't be dumb.
Yes.
And Donald's there to be mad in a way Mickey can't be mad.
You have to beat
and
up
also
on...
Take
abuse. Yeah. I mean, Goofy takes abuse too, but it's usually like he pratfalls. Like he fell on something.
Like his skiing escapades. Like he's not really in traction.
No.
You know what I mean? He's fine. You know, Goofy gives off the vibe of like, he's all right no matter what. Like he's chill.
He'll be,
Like we'll talk about the trailer. Like he's fine. He came out of that scot-free.
No problem.
He just fucking falls ass backwards into the
That's
money.
Long Ben for you.
Long Ben. So now Donald, so Donald falls for the classic, I'm going to paint a door on a rock bit. But again, because he's a magical imp,
he can bird go through goes the door. Through the door.
So when Donald goes to go through the door, he, of course, hits the rock and falls. So now we see Donald is like under a sheet, which is like how you used to take photos. Like you didn't want any light. You know, touching whatever, and you wanted to be able to see. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure why you need it. Anyway, so for some reason at this point, to set it up, the bird goes in front of what he thinks is the camera, but then Donald removes the sheet and it's a machine gun. I think they try to cut this out too.
Okay.
And the Swedes are like, put that fucking machine gun
back in.
Okay.
We're not
he
babies.
Needs to learn his lesson. I just see like religious figures in Sweden like bringing all of these things up. Like these are like their tales. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when Donald pulls out the machine gun.
It's so funny too because
who is the clown?
What an amazing pantheon of like gods and mythology they have to draw on, but this is sacred.
This is it. This is absolutely it. He's scared of the gun, the machine gun.
Yeah.
So he starts.
So he tries to kill himself.
Again. Well, first he starts kissing Donald and shaking his hand.
Yeah.
Like, let's make nice.
Yeah. He's got the news.
He's also a very pansexual, this bird.
Right.
He's everything and everyone. He's your wife and your best friend and your enemy.
Right.
He will kiss you and hit you.
Yeah.
He's everything. He's the moment he's now.
He is the moment.
He does the suicide thing again.
And I'm like, why does he think that threatening to kill himself is going to somehow sway the duck who wants him dead?
I think.
Like, you do it for me.
It's emotional abuse.
It is.
It's manipulation. Just,
that's
the
only tool he has in his toolbox is to manipulate.
I'm going
to
kill myself. Think about, like, if you're having a fight with a partner and they're like, I'm going to kill myself. Like, that's the most abusive, toxic shit you can do.
Yeah.
And that's his number one thing he goes to.
It's the first thing he goes to.
In his tool bag are exploding cigars and suicide attempts.
And a wife outfit.
So he shoots at him, but nothing. Again, he's magic. So when the dust clears, instead of being dead, which is what Donald wants, he's like sitting in a beach chair, like drinking a tropical drink. Mm. So now, and this is very Looney Tunes, Donald just loses his fucking mind.
Mm.
He's cracked, and now he starts going around squawking like him, and that's the end of it.
Yes.
So... this is mass. This is
just
the story.
The yellow wallpaper. Yeah. Is how it ends.
Now we're going to get to the Christmas tree.
Okay.
I want to start by saying something.
Please.
On this very podcast, I have very often maligned the Fred Moore version of Mickey Mouse by saying I feel like he's creepily too human.
Yes. Okay.
But I do have to say, having rewatched this, there is a sort of warm, comfortable roundedness. There's something very comfortable about the Fred Moore aesthetic that
it's
I really
mid-century
like.
Mid-century aesthetic.
Yes.
His outfits are very like Don Draper-esque.
Yes,
like
yes,
Don Draper
yes.
on the weekend.
Yes.
There's this weird like teal color palette happening that you don't really see in other Mickey cartoons.
Yeah.
I love this short. I love the aesthetic of this short
God,
in particular.
Incredible.
This is vintage Christmas to me. Like, this is what it looks like.
And Mickey, you know, depending on what the narrative needs, he lives in an apartment, he lives with Minnie, he doesn't, he lives in a house. This is the best property he's ever had.
Oh, beautiful.
It's a winter wonderland. He's living in a cabin in the woods
His
with
real estate
snow
portfolio.
Everywhere.
Absolutely
and it's
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Yes.
So
and you get the sense like this is his residence.
Yeah.
But if you know Mickey, you know this is his vacation property.
Mm-hmm. This is his pussy pad. This is where he brings the ladies on the weekend. You know, he's like, oh, you want to go take a walk in the moonlight in front of a tree?
You get the sense that he is drinking a scotch.
Oh.
Throughout this.
That's the Fred Morbid
like
century.
Glass, you know, like one of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Okay, so Mickey and Pluto go out to find a tree to chop down for Christmas. Mm-hmm. By the way, I love this idea you see in old movies of, and maybe this is what they did, where you put up the Christmas tree on Christmas
Eve. On Christmas
Eve. Like there's no letting it sit for a bit. I mean, the best part of having a Christmas tree is when you wake up in the middle of the night on a work night and you have a glass of water, you look at the tree and you're like, oh, maybe I won't kill myself tomorrow.
It's so nice. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
You're not going to be the bird.
Yeah.
I never understood this because we've always been a fake Christmas tree household.
Yeah.
You know, I got a balsam scented candle going right now. I don't need none of that sap in my house or critters. But I never, because we never get a fresh tree, I don't know how soon before Christmas you're supposed to buy one. Because like they die, right? Like they're.
No, I think.
You have to keep them in water. Yeah.
So that keeps the leaves from turning brown. But they're also very dangerous. And you used to put unregulated bulbs on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, people used to put lit whole ass candles on their Christmas tree and then wonder why their house burned down.
Yeah. Wonder.
People are trying to bring back tinsel in a big way. And I'd like to see that.
I'm not mad at that at all.
Yeah.
All right. So, motherfuckers. Chip and fucking Dale.
Or Piff and Poof.
Piff and Poof.
Piff och Poof.
They see Pluto and they decide to throw an acorn at him like the pieces of shit they are.
Poor Pluto.
These guys are such assholes. I love this cartoon, but I disagree with everything that they do and think. And they're just bad people.
I love Chip and Dale so much.
Not here.
No. Well, I do because I don't know. I don't feel that Pluto deserves any of this. So let me say that first. But I always love them. They're cute. They're little babies. They're cute. And they're just lovable rascals. They always are. Well, you can't be mad at them.
Oh, I am.
Mickey's not mad at them at all. He's so mad at Pluto.
That's what makes me even more angry because they're just gaslighting the whole situation. Pluto looks at them and like scumbags, they start walking all fours and barking. Which is racist.
In like, the animal
hey,
world.
Hey, dog.
Hey,
oh, look,
dog.
We're a fucking dumb dog like you. They hide in the tree that Mickey chops down. Mickey and Pluto are decorating the tree. Just two guys living their best life. Just two bachelors. Yeah. Chip and Dale are in the tree that's decorated. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, when I would watch this, I would want to be there. Like, them walking through the inside of the tree that's decorated on the outside.
Yes.
I wanted to shrink down and go there.
And be
just
there.
That look.
I had that exact same feeling.
Yeah, like I want to be in that place.
We had colorful light bulbs. I feel like there was a real changeover in the early 90s from colorful light bulbs to white light bulbs.
Well, it's funny. The I'm seeing online now a trend of like the multicolored light bulbs and they're calling it 90s Christmas.
90s Christmas. I see that. In fact, a lot of the newer trees.
You have an all white light tree.
I have an all white light tree. It did not come with options. A lot of trees now come with options. You could do warm light, you could do cool light, you could do multicolor.
Yes.
Mine only has this.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have this. We made the changeover in the 90s, but we used to have the multicolored Christmas tree. And I distinctly remember watching this short and then going under the tree and looking up into the tree to like get that feeling.
Did I ever do
this? And it is like.
It's magic.
It's a core memory. I distinctly remember doing that because of this short.
Wow.
So I wanted to be in the tree.
I think I think I might have done that too because you've unlocked some core memory in me.
Yeah, it's like I just remember like pushing underneath it.
Well, you know,
right? And just because you're tiny and just looking up.
You really are rugrats. Like when adults don't get on the ground because our knees and backs hurt. So
right.
It's like a.
And we're not getting back up too
quickly.
Yeah,
it's like a. But like little kids go on the ground.
On the floor
they lay
all
down.
The time, yeah.
Right. Like they
and
see
I had a
that level
lush carpet on the floor.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was rubbing all over that thing.
Yeah. So. Chip tries to steal some candy, tries to steal a candy cane, but instead gets a glass bulb ornament. Dale puts his fucking head through it. Chip opens a little door that's created by the shattering and he punches, Dale punches Chip in the fucking face.
I used to have all glass ornaments too. Like those.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ones that have like the.
They fall in a chat. Yeah.
Oh, well, there's the mid-century ones that they have in this cartoon also. There's like one side almost like pushes in and it looks like crinkled glass.
Yeah.
So pretty. They all broke. Because they're made of the thinnest glass imaginable.
Yeah. So to psychologically torture Pluto, Chip keeps screwing and unscrewing a light, making it go on and off. Mm-hmm. Pluto goes to investigate with his snoot and puts it up, and it looks like one of the lights. So Chip is the real troublemaker. Chip turns his nose like it's a light, and he hurts Pluto, but that's okay. It's okay to hurt people, I guess. Pluto starts growling at Chip. Dale uses a candy cane to grab Chip and bring him to safety. By the way, if you don't know this, and I didn't know this for 35 years until Jen taught it to me, Chip has the brown nose, Dale has the black nose. Just think chocolate Chip. He has a brown nose.
Wait, you said Chip has the brown nose, Dale has the black nose.
Yeah.
No.
No?
Chip has the dark nose, Dale has a red nose.
No.
Right? Doesn't Dale have a... Yeah, chocolate Chip. Wait, hold on. I have to look at them now.
None of them have a red nose. What am I talking about?
Doesn't Dale have a red nose?
Chip has a brown nose. Like a chocolate Chip.
Hold on. Give me a moment.
I'm going to flip this goddamn table.
Okay, so that's always red. Like, red is red to
me. Who is that?
That's Dale.
That's Dale?
Yeah.
So why is the black Chip?
Because his nose is like a chocolate Chip.
Chocolate Chips aren't black.
Yeah, they are. They're dark brown.
I'm going to walk out of this podcast.
Is this the episode we discover that you are colorblind?
No, this is the episode we discover that I fucking hate you.
Look at it. It's red.
Okay, it's red in that.
But I mean, even I see what you mean. It could be like that picture looks brown to me.
Yeah.
But hold on. Okay.
I've never been more upset with you.
Oh, my God. Which is
weird. You're ruining Christmas.
Okay, hold on. Well, this doesn't help. Yeah. Okay, Chip, he's got the dark nose, and Dale's got the big.
Fuck. Oh, they also. I don't think their teeth were different back in the back or this early.
I think you're right. I think in the early cartoon, yeah, because here, this is from Pluto's, and his nose is brown. It's not red. It's brown.
But that's Dale.
Red. But that's Dale.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm completely wrong. Yeah. And my life has been a lie.
But in this drawing, which I think is like of the same era, his nose is bright red.
That is red.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if chipmunks took everything from their designs. Like everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, even in the Alvin and the Chipmunks movie, like, oh, I don't know which is which anymore because there have been so many over the years. But like the newer ones.
Was it a Squeakquel?
Not the Squeakquel. The one that spawned the Squeakquel. They show up in Dave's life because of a Christmas tree. They're cut down in the forest and they're brought into like the office where he's going to sell his songs and they're in the Christmas tree.
The Christmas song is their big hit.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, so Dale's the troublemaker. And Chip is the one who's trying to like mitigate it a little
bit. Okay.
All right, so Dale, I have to now consciously swap them as I read this. Dale starts throwing ornaments on the ground to get Pluto to catch them because Pluto will because he cares about people's safety.
Yeah.
And they're assholes. Pluto tries telling Mickey, but Mickey ignores him.
Mm-hmm. No, he's drunk.
It only gets worse from here, folks. Yeah. Dale starts stealing acorns. To hide from Pluto, Dale goes into the mantle of the fireplace. And they have these Santa candles, and he takes a beard and hat with the wick and puts it on and is pretending to be a candle.
Again, I love that. Fun. I love that gag. I love the idea that a candle would have a removable beard.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Mickey goes to light the candle and lights the wick on Dale's head. Chip saves him, but he's an enabler. Chip's an enabler.
Yeah.
Pluto climbs the ladder. They knock the ladder over, throw the star on his tail, and they dance like they've achieved something. So here's where things get real bad.
Yeah.
Pluto jumps on the tree after his tormentors, and the tree gets destroyed. Mickey chokes. Mickey, Homer Simpson style, chokes.
Yeah. Strangles him.
Pluto's neck.
And because it says, you dumb mutt.
With the rancor in his voice.
Yeah.
You dumb mutt.
This is the most vitriol you'll ever hear from Mickey.
Because he's drinking.
Yeah, he's obviously been drinking.
Yeah.
He's so violent and aggressive.
It's
he's a mean drunk.
Mickey is horrible. Moose a
pig, indeed.
Yeah.
Messy pig.
Not a great look on Mickey Mouse. So now, but it gets worse. Mickey finally sees the chipmunks and not putting two and two together is like, oh, look, chipmunks. Like, not this is what why the dogs
right,
were
the
acting
dogs
weird.
Going nuts.
So being a good boy and protecting, he starts growling at them. And Mickey's like, don't growl at them. So then we hear caroling outside. This is weird. There's caroling outside, which is
in the middle of the wilderness.
Your girlfriend and your two closest boys are outside in the cold. What are they doing together?
Right.
Why invite them in? What is this? Were they supposed to come over for a party and this is like their fun way of entering?
Yeah.
Or did they? What is happening? Also, we're in the middle of goddamn nowhere.
Right.
How'd they
get here?
Are these really them or is this like apparitions? Or are they
dying.
Actually, they're dead in the basement of this cabin and he's just seeing them. It's like Evil Dead.
Yeah.
So Chip and Dale, like, you know, let's all get into the spirit. They start singing too. And then Pluto, trying to let bygones be bygones, starts to sing too. But he's got a bad voice because he's a dog and he just barks. So in one final insult, they slap a do not open to Christmas sticker on his fucking snoot. And that's the end of the cartoon.
It's dog abuse. It's dog abuse from top to bottom.
It is. It really is.
But
it's a beautiful looking cartoon.
It's a beautiful looking cartoon.
But it's about abuse.
It's nuts. But they treat it like it's a David and Goliath. Like no matter how bad Chip and Dale are, they're still little. They're tiny. So they're not bad. They could get eaten in one bite.
All right. Here's the thing. When Pluto like fucks with a cat, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the aggressor. Mm-hmm. So what if a cat gets back at him? Good for the cat.
Right.
What did he do here?
He just was a dog.
Yeah.
He existed
and that's called
as
racism.
A dog.
He was walking while dog was the probable cause here.
My God. They see him as an enemy, right?
Yeah. Mickey's trailer. Mickey's now we're going trailer. Way back. We're going back.
Yeah.
This is a white face black pupil Mickey.
Yes.
Love it. Best Mickey.
Old school.
Yeah. And you can also tell this is like all based on gags.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. So Mickey, this is Mickey's trailer. Mickey comes out of like what looks like a house. And
it looks like his house.
Beautiful vista. Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful countryside behind him. Beautiful sunny sky.
Yeah.
And then he closes that right up. Snaps it right up.
Yeah. And the background even is like
a city dump.
Yeah.
It says.
And it's one of the like most ugly, intentionally ugly images in a Disney cartoon.
I've never seen something so
It's dilapidated.
Yeah.
It's smokestacks.
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me of? Dismaland.
Oh.
Do you know Dismaland?
Okay. I've heard of this. Yes.
It was a pop-up in the UK made by Banksy and other artists.
Yes.
And it was a Disneyland called Dismaland. And like, you know, you went in and they like search you. Mm-hmm. And then like all over there, like little booths that you could get like payday loans with crazy interest rates. There's a Snow White dark ride. No, sorry. There's a Cinderella dark ride where it was inspired. I don't think this was Banksy. A lot of the different things inside were different artists.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was inspired by Princess Diana, and it's the pumpkin carriage over and her dead body like coming out of it, and like people snapping pictures at her.
Okay, yeah, I've seen that.
There was in like an oil slick miniature golf course. I'm forgetting all of the attractions, but this reminded me of Dismaland.
Yeah,
taking this sort of iconography and making it ugly, and this is like so ugly,
and it's so early, and I think it predates. What was the year on this?
30. I think this is 38.
Okay,
Let me double check.
Really predates Walt Disney World or Disneyland, right? But when I saw him,
38.
When I saw him snap up the background of this like absolutely gorgeous backdrop and home, I was like, God, this is just building a castle on a swamp. Like, this is what Disney does.
Yeah.
In fact,
he buys cheap land under fake names. So they don't sell him.
Yeah. At a high price. And he builds a fantasy in the middle of in LA. It's like this urban sprawl.
Yeah, that's a wonderful
and in
metaphor.
Orlando, it's us in the middle of a swamp that nobody wants.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Like this is a perfect metaphor for what Disney
Disney is, in fact.
And the beauty is fake.
It's all fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Transformer. I just did a Transformer episode, so I'm thinking about it. There's a lot of Transformer gags, right? Because it's a lot of this Mickey pushes a button and this trailer turns into something.
Mm. Right, the home collapses into this trailer, yeah. And then the trailer has all these rooms that also change. The car comes out of it. Yeah, the car comes Goofy out. Driving. Goofy has been asleep in, I guess, and yeah. Just pops out.
Yeah.
He's the driver.
They were like, sleep the car. We can't stand here and you masturbate all night.
Wait, listen, he's got a snoot on him. You know Goofy, he's snoring.
Goofy gooning all night. Oh,
my God. Goofy gooning.
He's a gooner. just... Gorsh.
Oh my God.
I feel like Donald. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Donald Duck is just, I could see him with two pillows over his ears, just
yeah.
Screaming.
Yeah. He's sleeping in. So it transforms from what looks like a house into a trailer.
When Henry saw this, he made a little joke. He was like, you know, I love to see a trailer.
That's fun. Good for him. He's getting there.
He's doing his pun work.
Mickey is in the kitchen, like, making coffee. He sticks his head out the window as they pass a cornfield and takes some corn.
Goofy tells him some cows are passing by. He gets some milk.
Yeah. You don't see it, though. You just hear it, which is
tasteful.
Probably for the best.
I just love that it's moving so much. Like, everything's, like, bouncing around inside. Yeah. He's got a pot of boiling water on the stove. Yeah,
there's a lot of very rhythmic gags of, like, everyone inside is bouncing.
Oh, the water comes out of the pot because it bounces and it goes right into the kettle.
Yeah. I also like the idea of Mickey drinking coffee.
Me too.
I like the idea of Mickey waking up and being like, I need some coffee.
I need some coffee in my life. Yeah. Don't talk to me before I've had my coffee.
I swear to God,
He's got a mug that says that. You know it.
I swear to God, Donald, I cannot hear your voice before I have coffee.
I feel like in the 90s, there were shirts like that with him, like, very sleepy.
Yeah.
With a coffee mug.
Yeah, probably.
I could see that.
There was everything.
Everything. Everything under the sun.
But he's like a little homemaker here too.
He's a happy little guy. He's making food for everybody.
Yeah.
Breakfast?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Yeah.
With coffee and corn on the cob? That's my breakfast.
Good to me.
Breakfast of champions.
Don't threaten me with a good time. and milk?
Mmm.
Sure. So Donald.
That is.
Yes.
That is a colon nightmare. Milk, milk and corn.
This will.
And coffee.
This will run roughshod over your digestive system.
It's coming out the way it went in. Like that.
Well, corn does. Doesn't corn always?
Oh, God.
What did you eat today? Oh, just corn.
A lot of corn and coffee.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
First thing in the morning.
I'm farting blood.
God.
So Donald is sleeping. He gets up. He has this contraption where the alarm clock turns and pulls
the
blanket off of it.
I love that.
And he's groggy too. He's like, Mickey pushes a button from the other room and the bedroom turns into a bathroom.
Which, does he unzip a bathtub?
I love it.
Oh,
such a good gag.
So cool.
And the water's already in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he jumps
in. That's been in there for days. Yeah.
And he jumps in. But he puts on like a bathing suit.
I used to love that in old cartoons.
Suits in the bathtub?
Well, that too. But, a bath first thing in the morning? Like, when you're a child.
Luxurious.
How luxurious, right? Like,
who would have the time?
When you're a little child, it's like you take a bath at night before bed.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing this in the morning.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What a life.
It gives you a little bit of their routine. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Goofy, he wants to get right to it.
Oh,
he's driving.
Yeah. He wakes up driving.
He's been up gooning all night. He's very relaxed. Mickey needs some coffee. He wants to keep the high one happy.
Care of everybody.
There was maybe a few words last night. People drank a little bit too much.
A few words.
Goofy said something to piss Donald off. Donald took it too far, as he always does. And then Goofy was like, fuck this. I'm sleeping in the car.
Outside, yeah.
And so he's like, let me make this better by getting us a beautiful corn breakfast. Mickey presses another button. And then the bathroom turns into a dining room.
I love it.
Goofy, beautifully, comes in.
jumps out of this car, runs to the back.
And they're all like eating. We see, and is this the first time for this? The typewriter.
Corn
gag. Kids would not get it because they don't know what a fucking typewriter is. The ding.
Right back.
As Goofy, every time Goofy tries to take a bite, there's a dresser and like a drawer comes out and hits him in the head so he can't bite.
he's known for dresser work. Like Lonesome Ghost, he's getting hit with dressers. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a fan of a chest of drawers.
He really is.
A armoire, if you will. he sticks his finger in a socket. I don't remember what gets us there.
Yes, but he gets electrocuted.
And popcorn.
Popcorn.
And
happens.
One pops and hits him in the eye, gets a black eye. that could have been from the night before Goonin. And
true.
Could have been Gooning injury. At some point, Mickey astutely is like, who's driving? The three of us are here.
Yeah.
And Goo's like, oh, shit. Yeah, I'm supposed to be driving. So he...
And they go off-road. Like, the second he comes in, the car just goes to a closed-off road.
They're on the side of a mountain on a bouncing, very windy road.
Yeah.
They are just constantly flirting with death and have no idea.
Yeah, they go around. It's this great gag where a car is coming and they go completely off the road, but they're balanced on a fence.
Sure.
Like a roller coaster track.
Yeah. It's incredible. Very kinetic.
Mm-hmm.
For 38, just beautiful, like, music. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such great animation. I mean, there's almost no dialogue, but there's a great story.
Yeah, there's a lot happening.
So Goofy's like, fuck, I better drive. So he goes out, jumps out into the car, but he accidentally kicks the hitch.
So it unhitches.
But of course, he don't fucking notice. So he just keeps driving. And then the trailer with Mickey and Donald falls back down the hill the other way. And then what happens? Donald's on a phone, and as they turn a corner...
Oh, that's when the car comes.
Yeah.
They're not hooked up to to Goofy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
The centrifugal force... forces Donald out of the window, but he doesn't fall to his doom because he's holding a phone.
Right. It's keeping him tethered.
And I don't know if he's calling for help because he's like...
Who knows what he's saying?
Something is emerging.
He's like, you got to hear what he did last night. Yeah. I was up all night with...
He said to me...
packed in my ears.
He said to me, how's Daisy? But like the way he said it, how's Daisy? You know we're on a break. You know we're on a break, Goofy. You fuck. You know what? You should know how she is because you comment on every one of her fucking Instagram pictures. So why don't you tell me how she is? And then Mickey's like, fuck.
Oh my God.
Every time. Why do I hang out with
her? He's like, do you really think you should be telling this to your like 9-year-old nephew that you're calling right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Leave only them other out of people this. You know.
Yeah. The only other people are your three nephews and your how you connected elderly uncle who's extremely rich and you see none of that money. So they cross a train track. Twice they narrowly escape a train killing them.
That's life on the road, baby.
They go off a cliff and start to tumble. And then you see inside, they're like, whoa, they're like tumbling around.
Yeah.
Breaking necks.
Yeah.
We'd be dead. Goofy, they tumble to the bottom of the hill. Goofy drives by.
Hitches
itself.
Yep.
And Goofy's like, I told you.
I got you here safely. Yeah.
The end.
Well, you see the inside. And the inside is decimated.
Yes.
There's nothing left in this trailer. Everything is.
Yeah. And this is day two of a 4-day trip. So
they're not getting the deposit back on that trailer.
Oh, no. No. And Uncle Scrooge is not going to help.
Oh, no.
No. Whenever you need some money, where is he? No.
He's in his money.
Yeah. He's. Oh, you're swimming in your money?
I've That's got a good student way to get
loan.
Sick.
I'm up to my bill in student loan debts. I was on the GI Bill.
He was.
He was a naval
And thank
officer.
Him for his service.
All right. So let's talk about the very charming and cute Ferdinand the Bull.
So sweet.
I have a question.
Okay.
And this, by the way, is not a cheap joke.
Okay.
This is a real question. Is he gay? Or is this about queerness?
I think he...
It's based on a book.
Yeah. I don't know anything about the history of the book. I never read it as a kid. Yeah. It wasn't like
But I think it's well known. Like
it's
I've
a
heard
very
this name
book,
before.
Yeah. I remember in The Blind Side, that book comes up and it's like their family's favorite book. And they're like, they're talking... I forgot the guy's name, but they're talking about this football player.
Yeah.
Like he's Ferdinand. They're like, he's gentle.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
Like, but
he's
this
one of the good ones.
It's racist. As
he's
hell.
One of the good ones.
So,
there's not a lot of story to this.
No, but I think he is a big bull in the sense that he's like maybe the biggest of the whole pasture.
Yeah.
And he's not interested in being rough or fighting. He loves flowers. He just wants to smell flowers. He's just a gentle soul.
Yeah. The other bulls when he's little, it starts with him little, the other bulls run around and play and they butt heads. Mm-hmm. And he just wants to sit under the cork tree and smell the flowers smell and be peaceful.
Flowers, yeah.
And his mother, who is an icon, because mm-hmm. she lets him.
She lets him.
She says, do you want to maybe play with
do
the
you
others?
Do
and
it?
He goes, no, I'm happy
and
where
she
I
drops
am.
It.
And she lets
She's
it.
She's like, okay.
The narrator keeps calling her a cow, which keeps upsetting her. Every time he says cow, she looks angrily at the camera. But there's not a ton of jokes in this. By the way, this takes place in Spain.
Yes. Right, because you see his birthday. It's like año.
Año. Sorry.
It's so cute.
Yeah, and
he's
once
adorable.
You, once you start to see the human characters, things get a little stereotypical.
Oh, yeah.
He grows up and he's the biggest and strongest, mm-hmm. but he
doesn't
want to
fight.
Yeah. And smelling the flowers.
Yeah.
Until
one day.
The other bulls all want to be, or they all want to go to Madrid.
And be bullfighters. Well,
they do not, they've not seen the end of that story.
No, where they get stabbed by sabers until they
die.
Yeah,
where they die. They all want to do it, though. It's mm-hmm. like what they really want to do. And he, of course, does not care at all. So when these men come from Madrid in what the narrator calls silly hats or funny hats.
Yeah, but they are funny. I mean, no one else wears them.
Yeah. They're there to find the strongest bull.
Yeah.
And all the other bulls are like trying to show off.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to go sit by my tree. But he accidentally sits on a bee.
Oh, and that is the nastiest little bee I've ever seen.
He knew what he was doing.
That bee is so nasty. Yeah. I laughed so hard when it looks at the camera and it has this like ugly little face on.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God. Yeah. He sits on a bee and he goes buck wild. He goes absolutely crazy. He gets so hurt and he runs wild. And he is the biggest and strongest, but he never uses that strength.
No.
And so he knocks through all the other bulls all at once.
Right.
It's like bowling pins.
Yeah.
He kicks them right out of the way. And, you know, all of the bullfighters' eyes light up. They're like, this is the guy.
Yeah.
It's him.
Yeah.
So.
And then we're there.
He gets taken to Madrid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just the book has to be longer than this. This is so truncated.
Yeah. It's a little kid's book.
I guess.
It's like
but I feel like there's just, even if picture books have three beats, like this has two beats, kind of.
Kind of.
Yeah.
He's gentle. He continues to be gentle.
Yeah.
After a misunderstanding.
There's two settings, really.
Yeah.
So they go, they explain everybody who's in the bullfight, mm-hmm. all the different people, and then the last one is the matador.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to come out. Ferdinand's like, he like sticks his head out. He's like, he don't want to come out.
Yeah.
Everyone's mad at him because like, come on, put on a show. The matador has flowers in his mm-hmm. hand.
That a beautiful Spanish woman threw to him.
So Ferdinand is like, I love
some flowers.
So he goes to sniff the flowers.
He comes running out. They're all scared of him.
Yeah, but he gently just sniffs the flowers and everyone's mad at him.
Yeah. He chooses peace.
Yeah.
The matador
is so angry, he rips his shirt off and he has a tattoo that says Daisy.
Yeah, it has a flower tattoo.
Is it Donald's Daisy?
Maybe. She's been making the rounds, this special.
And it has a flower, a daisy. So
she really is that bitch
because
she doesn't even show up and we're talking about her.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he gives a big lick to his chest.
Yeah.
And everyone's so mad.
Yeah, and then that's it, right? Like, that's kind of it.
Yeah. But, you know.
It's a beautiful. After this, I think. I don't remember if it's all cartoons and then movie clips or if they're, like,
I think
they intersperse them,
but I couldn't tell you what the order is.
It feels
is.
Like this is a good ending, though.
Yeah.
It's a sweet way to go out.
It's peaceful.
Yeah, it's very peaceful.
It really is not Christmas again.
But it is peaceful.
It's
about peace.
It's choosing peace, right?
Yeah.
It's choosing not to fight.
Yeah.
You know, war is over. I think it's interesting that the article that you sent me, which the title was so funny. I have to go back and find it because I was just laughing at the title alone. But this article that you sent me emphasizes that the Swedish strong conviction in neutrality or their belief that they should remain neutral is very, very important to them. And that's why they objected so strongly to this bull. But Nordic quack. Like Nordic track.
Oh.
Love it.
Who's that, Slate?
It was Slate.
Good job, Slate.
Yeah. So, but what I think, so I'm sorry, give me the year for Ferdinand again.
I believe it's also.
In the 30s?
I think it's 38 as well. Let me see.
Okay.
Ferdinand is, sorry. Yeah, it's also 38.
I actually see this as a pushback against the world policeman view of American foreign politics, particularly during wartime.
Yeah.
And it is the biggest, it is the strongest, but we're going to choose not to fight. We're going to choose peace. We're not getting involved. if we had to get involved, we'd be the strongest. Yeah. You know, they have to show that he's really quite strong.
Yeah, that's interesting. But,
and we're scary. When we come out, we poke our head out, we're actually scary. Right. But
we're choosing.
Let's stay out of it. Let's choose peace. Let's choose really to stay out of it.
Think about it. I think, you know, I think I originally heard about this whole phenomena on a TikTok. And then I found that article and started to get into it. And I think, other than it just being an interesting idea, I think what attracted me to it on a serious level is how much I care about fandom and the way it creates meaning in our lives.
Mm.
And this clearly has such great meaning for them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they feel like they own it.
Yeah.
It's theirs. It's their cultures.
Well, in addition to just having the one TV station, for many Swedish people, this was the only time they saw Disney.
Right. That's also
is the only access
sweet
they had.
That it's the only it's the only touch of the magic they got, which is, again, just fascinating.
Is Werner Herzog Swedish?
I don't know.
I have to look it up because if he is, you know, he watched this, I'm sure.
This explains something. This explains a lot to you.
Just the. Yeah. No, he's German. He's German. He's German. Of course he is. Although it did air in Germany as well.
No, it not airs as popular. All over.
Yeah.
It only became
the unspeakable beauty of Donald Duck at Christmas.
Yeah.
His anger, his rage.
Yeah. So what did you think of this special?
I thought, so I watched the sort of the American version, I guess. And so many of the shorts were different. Like almost all of them. Were different. The clips from the films were the same, like Peter Pan,
no, there's
Cinderella.
Difference there too.
There's different. Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
They included some other ones.
Yeah. Let me have. I have it. So in the American version, there's clips from Peter Pan, Bambi, Pinocchio, Lady and the Tramp, Cinderella, and Snow White. The Swedish version has Robin Hood and the Jungle Book.
Yeah, that's
but doesn't
true.
Have Peter Pan, Bambi, or Pinocchio.
Yeah, which is so funny to me because the Bambi one is so wintry.
Yeah, it seems like
like you should include it.
Yeah, no brainer.
It's funny. The Swedish one seems like the least Christmassy version that they've presented. Like they have this jungle one,
but more Donaldy,
much more Donaldy. Yeah, that's true. Although they had a Donald. It was sort of like Pluto's Christmas tree.
Yeah.
But they had a Donald version where he's getting a Christmas tree and Chippendale are there. And I'm like, why not include that if they love Donald so much? No word with the broadcaster. But they'll get mad if I change anything.
No, we're not changing.
I can't do that to them.
The Big Finish is actually my favorite part. The Big Finish, which is new animation, is Jiminy Cricket singing When You Wish Upon a Star.
Yeah.
And all the other Disney characters coming and watching him sing. It's beautiful. I loved it. It's so good. It got me.
So just as they changed the Walt Disney animation or the introduction, they had this, I want to say he's a journalist, but this Swedish journalist do an impromptu version of When You Wish Upon a Star as the Swedish version for their broadcast. And that's what he's most well known for. But he's made a career of interviewing Nobel laureates.
Huh.
But he just sings this song in the Christmas special, which I think is
And it
sweet.
Dubs over Jiminy. Okay.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, though. It's such a sweet one. Nice. I mean, When You Wish Upon a Star will always get me. It's just such, it's such purified Disney.
Mm-hmm.
It's just magic. It's so good. And it's the only unique animation in this.
Yeah. Well, the interstitials are.
They get together a lot now, but like in 58, like to have like Snow White come and like sit and watch, like it was really interesting.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. When they did that recently for the 100 Years of Animation.
Yeah. That was cool.
That was really cool. I do think that Disney has this issue of master of ceremonies, though.
Yeah.
Like they have too many. Tinkerbell shows up, Jiminy Cricket shows up, Mickey Mouse shows up. Like, who's
but
the
Mickey's
master
not doing
of the
much.
Ceremonies?
He's just sitting there playing the piano in this.
Yeah. But it's sort of like the ending of Roger Rabbit, where like everyone's saying goodbye, and then like, okay, finally Porky Pig is going to be the one who says goodbye. Oh, wait, no, Tinkerbell's going to come right at the end, and she's going to end it.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Although I do like the choice that it's Jiminy.
Mm.
Because he's the conscious.
He's also in Fun and Fancy Free. He's the...
Yes, he is.
He's sort of the narrator.
Pulls that together, too.
Yeah, he's the... what the heck is her name? Candace Bergen's dad is the guy in it. Ventriloquist.
Edgar Bergen.
And that little girl that Walt Disney loved her. He put her in a bunch of things. I'm like, Alice? Why is... No, she's... How Green Was My Valley. She was in some live action, like one of the first live action movies that they did, Walt Disney Studios. And she's at this party alone with him.
Sure.
I'm like, why is this child who is not yours?
Yeah.
Why is she here alone in the house with you and three ventriloquist dummies and you guys are the only guests at this party? I don't like any of that. Yeah. That's not Candace.
Yeah.
That should be Candace. Who is that?
What's up?
She's not calling him dad. She's calling him Mr. Bergen. Yeah. I don't like any of that.
I don't like what's happening here.
Nope. I use it as a teachable moment. I tell the boys. Yeah. They love that movie because of the Mickey and the Beanstalk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not acceptable. You cannot be alone with a man and three ventriloquist dummies at any point in your life.
So one point they will be alone with a man, but they're like, I don't see any dummies. So we're good. Let's get in this van.
Fine. It's fine. I checked it out. No ventriloquist dummies. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. Did you watch this alone or did your kids watch this with you?
They watched it.
Did they like it?
They loved it.
Oh, good.
They loved it.
I could see myself watching this every Christmas. Yeah. It's short. It's sweet. I don't think it overstays its welcome.
No.
It's nice.
Yeah. It's about an hour.
Yeah.
And what's
amazing is like it's just an episode of a show.
Yeah.
And it became for One Nation the glue that has held them together on the world stage.
It's true.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Do you think of Disney, like, in your mind, is there a connection between Disney and Christmas?
Yes. I think for a lot of people there is as well, because there's so much merchandise, right?
Yes, that's true.
And I mean, if you look on the couch, I have a Mickey Santa blanket thing.
Yeah.
And when you go into Costco, like, we love Costco. If you go into Costco, so many of the Christmas decorations there are Disney, Mickey, you know? People start collections of Christmas decorations. Yeah. We just went to our kids' Christmas fair and there were two, like a big Mickey and a big mini Santa.
I feel like it really works.
And it has nothing else to do with Christmas. It's they're just there.
Often they'll go back to a 30s Mickey.
Yeah.
Like kind of like Coca-Cola and its connection to
Christmas. Yeah.
Like you'll do vintage Mickey.
I have Diet Coke Santa Claus in my fridge right now and it's the best tasting one because there he is.
There he is.
He's the master of ceremonies. Yeah. I mean, really, for the whole year.
Yeah. And you do star with him.
You better watch out.
And I will.
But they definitely are connected to Christmas. And so many people love to spend Christmas there or to visit for Christmas. I never have. I went after Christmas one year because but it wasn't decorated for Christmas because it was the year of the cake. It was the cake year. It was the cake year.
I don't hate the cake.
I love the cake. Bring back the cake.
People hate it.
It was a balloon.
It's crazy.
We always get Disney shirts before we go to Disney. Oh, okay. We're not like a matching family. We decide like independently which shirts we want. And it's always, we try to do like the most esoteric references you can get.
Sure.
And next time we go, I'm getting a cake shirt because they sell them. They have like, bring me back. It's bring me back to the cake shirt.
He wants to come back.
Bring me back to the cake castle.
Yeah.
But they're cheaping out, man. They don't even do the Christmas dream lights on the castle anymore.
They don't?
When they made the castle look like it's covered in icicles, they don't do that anymore. They say it's not cost effective. I'm like, you are a multi-billion dollar company and you squeeze every last dollar out of your customers and you're saying it costs too much to put that on the castle?
That is not magic.
That's
not magical to say.
Get real.
Walt would not like that.
No.
We were talking off air that this week it was reported that it is currently cheaper to fly to Japan and go to Tokyo Disney than it is to go to Disney World in Florida.
I'd love to go.
I want to go to Japan so bad.
I want to do a theme park trip. This is actually a plan that I have in mind. It's in the works. And I said to Bill, I was like, if we haven't gone by the time Henry has graduated from high school, that will be our like graduation trip to him. Mm-hmm. And we will like, that'll be our present to him. Yeah. And we'll take a trip to Japan, and if he's still into theme parks, we will make it like a theme park trip, and we'll hit them all up.
I want to go, and I want to stay at the Godzilla Hotel.
Oh my God, what?
There's a Godzilla Hotel.
I don't have everything you could imagine.
I'm not sure what it looks like inside, but like there's a, let's say, real scale Godzilla that's like holding it, like next to the hotel, and it's a Godzilla Hotel, like, and his head is on the roof. I want to go so bad.
We have friends who've gone a couple of times, and they're having a Japanica Hanukkah party this year. But they don't have children.
Yeah, well, they
living that dink life.
Well, this is really sweet. I want to thank everyone who's listened to this,
mm-hmm.
Because if nothing, I'm the Walt Disney of this podcast.
You certainly are, yeah.
No, so and I also hate unions. No, I don't hate unions. Thank you so much for listening to PCMC. Keep listening. Come back next week for New Year's episode.
New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk about what we resolve to do or don't do. We end every episode by saying...
Go bye-bye.
Say it more magically.
Go bye-bye.